When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We've heard about postpartum depression, and maybe we have friends who have confided in us that they were affected by it. But what about twin mamas? If you're carrying multiple babies, are you more prone to experiencing postpartum depression? Today, we're here to talk with Dr. Allison Remnick and learn more about how postpartum depression affects women, and especially twin moms. This is Twin Talks.
The ultrasound shows your babies to be healthy.
What? Did you say babies? You're huge. Are you having twins?
Are they natural?
Which one do you like better?
Twins, huh? My neighbor's cousin's brother's uncle's a twin.
So can they read each other's minds?
How do you tell them apart?
Twins? You got a two for one.
Do twins run in your family?
Double trouble.
You're not having any more, are you?
At least you're not octomom.
If you're pregnant with twins or you're an experienced twin parent, odds are you've heard it all before. Now it's time to hear from the experts. This is Twin Talks, Parenting Times 2. Well, welcome to Twin Talks. Twin Talks is your weekly online, on-the-go support group for expecting and new parents of twins. I'm your host, Christine Stewart Fitzgerald. If you'd like to listen to our show on the go, be sure to download the Parents on Demand app, and it's available on Apple and Android. Not only can you hear our show, but you'll also discover more great podcasts geared towards parents and families. So let's get into it and let's introduce everyone who is joining our conversation today. So tell us a little bit about yourself and your family, your experience with today's topic. Let's start with our expert speaker, Dr. Remnick. So welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. My name is Allison Remnick, and I am the director of the Women's Reproductive Mental Health Program at the University of California, San Diego. I work there full time, and I'm also a mom of three little ones. So my youngest right now is 21 months, and I also have a 4-year-old and a 5-year-old. And I've been working with moms who've had mood and anxiety disorders during pregnancy and postpartum for about 8 years. So I'm excited to talk to you about what we know.
Yay. Well, thank you. And let's see, let's go to our parents that are joining us. So Maggie, tell us about your family.
Hi, I'm Maggie, and I have 4.5-year-old twin boys, and I also have an almost 2-year-old boy. And let's see, so what I know about the topic a little bit, I will say that I feel like I suffered a little bit more from depression after my singleton, but I did, I think with the twins, I suffered a little bit of postpartum depression, but I just don't think I realized it. And it was more with my second that I kind of recognized the signs more. And I did get help for it.
Oh, that's great to hear. Awesome. Okay. And Lisa, welcome, Lisa, coming
Hi.
To us from the sunny shores of Hawaii.
Hi. Yeah. My name's Lisa. I have 3.5-year-old boy-girl twins. I'm a stay-at-home mom right now with them. And we had our twins through IVF after many years of trying to get pregnant and failing. And I definitely experienced postpartum depression in the first year, but I really didn't seek help because I was in denial about it until actually they were almost like 2.5 years old. I finally realized I needed help. And so I waited late, but better late than never to get help and treatment for it.
Oh, wow. Well, we're definitely have to talk about the whole timing and diagnosis. That's a really great thing that we'll have to cover. And let's see, Sunny, our producer, welcome.
Yeah, thanks so much. So hi, guys. I'm Sunny, and I have 4 kids. My oldest two are my singletons. I have an 8-year-old boy and a 7-year-old boy. And then I have 5.5-year-old identical twin girls. As far as postpartum depression is concerned, I kind of mirror what Maggie said. I felt like I had it after my first son, my oldest. And then I really didn't get treated for it. I started to, I actually went to, what do they call them, intake appointments. I went to an intake appointment, and I just, I didn't connect with the person and it was so tough to get to the appointment. Anyways, it just never really happened. And so I kind of started the process because I could feel myself becoming depressed and I kind of recognized the symptoms and I was like, I think I need some help, but then never really got treated for it. And I don't think I really had it with my second son or my twins.
And that's so interesting that you would have it with maybe one pregnancy, but not the other. And I'm Christine, your host. And let's see. So I have identical twin girls who are now 9 years old, which I know for a lot of the folks who are listening today, it seems like that's so old. And I go, wow. And I also have a singleton girl who's six. So we got three girls. And I think after having three girls, we said, you know, the chances of having, you know, another kid that would, you know, maybe a boy would be is pretty much nil. And so we're like, I think three girls is good. We're good right there. Yeah. And you know, and I think for me, I wasn't diagnosed with postpartum depression, but I definitely have to say there were times when I probably would check some of the indicators in the box. So yeah, we'll definitely be talking about that. So thank you and welcome everyone.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Okay, so let's talk about some news headlines. This is our segment that we love to do, and we love to find the crazy headlines out there regarding twins and multiples and basically look at and go, wow, can you believe that happened? And this news headline totally falls into that category. So the headline is, a month after giving birth, this woman had surprise twins. Now, I think everybody that's listening to this episode, you could probably put yourself in that person's position and go, oh my gosh, how is that possible? I thought I was having one baby. And then, you know, within the period of a month, you go home with three babies. So let me give you the background on this, okay? The woman's name is Arifa Sultana. She's from Bangladesh. She was 20 years old when she gave birth to this first baby, which was a baby boy. And she had never had an ultrasound. And I don't really know the reason behind that. Maybe it wasn't available, but she never had an ultrasound with her baby boy. She had no idea that she actually had a twin pregnancy in addition to that. But she did end up giving birth to boy-girl twins 26 days after she gave birth to her singleton.
Gosh.
Now, yeah, you guys are wondering, how in the world is this possible? So basically, she has what's called, and there's a technical term for it, Allison, you may know what it is, but it's a second uterus. So she actually has two, is it uteri? I don't know what plural of uteruses is, but so she has two of them, and that happens in 1 in 2,000 women. Will have two uteruses. And then of that population, only 1 in 25,000 can have simultaneous pregnancies.
Wow.
And so she is of a very, very, very select group of women that could actually do this. But yeah, so she had her baby, you know, at home with the baby, everything's great. And she had these severe stomach pains, which are labor pains. And then she went in, the doctors took a look and obviously were completely surprised. They performed a C-section on her. And yeah, so I mean, that's how the babies were born. The family is very happy. This makes a lot of sense. They're actually, they're worried about finances. They have no idea how they're going to afford these babies, which I think that went through most of our heads too when someone told us we were going to have to. And yeah, the family, I guess their salary, if you translate it into dollars, they make about $95 per month. And so I think someone needs to set up a GoFundMe account or something to help this poor family. But they're in good spirits. But oh my gosh, can you imagine, like, you just gave birth to one and then 26 days later, two?
Like, how did they all fit in there? Or
I have no idea. I mean, it just says there wasn't any complications with their first one.
Wow.
So that leads me to believe that if it wasn't completely full term, it was enough that, you know, there wasn't any intervention or, you know, anything needed to help the baby.
That's just amazing. I mean, I think, you know, you hear about sometimes the surprise pregnancies where women don't know that they're pregnant. But I mean, you know, even more so, if you've already had a baby, then I mean, that's the last thing you'd have in your mind about having, you know, oh, there's still more in there. I mean, you know, maybe, okay, we hear about surprise multiples in the hospital. It's like, oh yeah, there's another one in there. But 26 days later,
she's probably thinking, oh, you know, you still have that baby bump, you know, postpartum. Yeah. But to her, she's like, oh, well, mine's just extra big or not going away.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Now, I would be really curious, and there's no follow-up on this, but since our topic today is about postpartum depression, man, I wonder, you know, what kind of depression she, or if she would, you know, be at risk of having even greater depression because she had three babies, you know, two different uteruses. I have no idea what that does to the chemical makeup of your body. And the doctors probably don't even know either, right? But you can only imagine that it has to be intensified.
Wow, that's just crazy.
Yeah, I mean, double the uterus, double the hormones.
Makes sense, right?
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
We're here today with women's health expert, Dr. Allison Remnick of UC San Diego Health. Dr. Remnick oversees the Women's Reproductive Mental Health Services Program, which is uniquely dedicated to providing mental health care for women in all stages of life, but particularly in the postpartum period. We're here today to talk about twin moms and how they might be especially susceptible to postpartum depression. So, Dr. Remnick, I have to say, I'm just so glad that, you know, you have a center that's devoted to women. I mean, I'm not aware of any other center that puts such an emphasis on women and particularly postpartum health. And here we are, I think today we're recording. This is it National Postpartum Health Awareness Month? I
think. Yeah, Maternal Mental Health Awareness Month and Mental Health Awareness Month in general too.
So I'm imagining you've been in great demand recently, just to raise the flag, and we're all here to learn about it. I think we've heard the term postpartum depression, but I don't know if how many of us really know what that actually means. Can you just give us some, you know, definition of what that means and how that kind of maybe how it manifests itself?
Sure. So postpartum depression is a depressive episode, but that it can happen late in pregnancy, like in the third trimester or within the first few months after delivering. And a lot of first-time moms really don't realize that they have depression. You know, I think most of the time they just think, oh, is this what being a mom is now? Is this how life is going to be? But really, I say the symptoms are mostly just feeling really down, depressed, feeling very tearful all the time, feeling like they have no energy, can feel really irritable, and have really a lot of difficulty sleeping. I think one thing we're trying to move towards too is trying to title it perinatal mood and anxiety disorders, because a lot of women will say, I don't have depression, I have anxiety. And really, we see a lot of anxiety too postpartum, just not having a lot of concern and worry about health of the baby, about safety, having a lot of difficult intrusive thoughts that might seem scary. And, you know, at the worst, having, you know, suicidal thoughts, and that point is, you know, it's a medical emergency. But a lot of times too, moms might have just a really difficult time caring for the baby during this time because she can be so sleep deprived, and just dealing with a lot of new changes.
Oh, yes. I think we definitely can all relate to that. So I'm just now curious. So how is this different, you know, when you talk about, you know, some of these symptoms? I mean, how is it different from regular depression? Let's just say that's maybe it's not associated with post. I mean, is there a difference between postpartum depression and regular depression?
Yeah, I mean, we think there is, just because there's so many biological factors that come into play and genetic factors. So if there's a family history, women are more at risk. If women have had previous histories of depression or specifically postpartum depression, they're more at risk. And then there's just hormones. So estrogen and progesterone go way, way, way up to the highest levels they've ever been when you're pregnant and at the very last day of your pregnancy. And then the day you deliver, they drop to these extremely low levels. And I like to tell my patients kind of like simply estrogen works as kind of an antidepressant and the progesterone works as an anti-anxiety. So you're kind of in this state now where you're a little more depressed, a little more anxious, and then now you have to take care of a baby and you're sleep deprived and you're trying to learn this whole new role when your body is really like deficient now in nutrition and vitamins. So it's really like it's like the perfect storm for creating a lot of anxiety and mood disorders. So we feel like women are most vulnerable during this time. And it seems a bit different than other types of depression too, because there seems to be a pretty quick response if we ever use medications, like much quicker than we would see in the general population. And we think it's because of hormones.
Wow. No, I mean, I have to admit, I didn't realize how much hormones have to play in all of this. I knew, you know, hormones manifest themselves in all these very physical ways, but I admit I didn't realize in as far as mental health goes. And I don't know if any of our panelists have any comments to add.
I mean, I can relate to just immediately after giving birth, just those few days in the hospital and being at home, I just felt just sort of anxious immediately. Panicky, kind of like, oh my gosh, this is really real. But of course, I just chalked it up to, whoa, like, I just had two babies. You know, it's just overwhelming. And I knew about like how, you know, the hormone drops. I read about that in pregnancy books and things. But yeah, just experiencing it is, it was just, yeah, different than I expected.
And how about also, I was thinking, you know, even taking other medications, you know, I have to remember when I had my twins, I was healing from a C-section. And I was taking, I think it was basically like a Vicodin equivalent. And I just remember there were a couple instances where I was having these just like, you know, what I would call nightmares, you know, just, and it was just like this deep anxiety where, you know, I just remember feeling really just tense and stressed out and worried and this, you know, as a dream. And, you know, I told my doctor about it and she says, okay, well, let's just switch you over on your medication. So I just went to like Tylenol and she says, yeah, we don't want to have to put you on additional medication. And we tried that and thankfully it did help, but I didn't even consider that maybe medications might also be a factor as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of moms will say if like it's a C-section that they felt like the anesthesia was potentially precipitated their depressed mood, or if they had any type of narcotic or opiate medication that they felt like that kind of put them in a more vulnerable place too. I would say like in terms of the literature, that hasn't really been proven, but everybody's makeup, chemical makeup, brain makeup is completely different. So, you know, I think there are certain things that make people more susceptible, and certainly, you know, a number of different medications can do that and create kind of a more susceptible environment for postpartum depression and anxiety.
Well, so it sounds like there's not any just typical sort of, you know, case study, but we have to really be paying attention to all these little minute things that are happening and these different kinds of influences and be able to report them to our provider. Now, we're talking, you know, about on the hormone side. Now, with twins, we all know that, at least in the beginning of the pregnancy, with fertility hormones, when those are just spiking like way off the chart and it's like, oh yeah, you're having twins, right? Is that also the case later in the pregnancy and postpartum, where do twin moms have just, you know, higher levels or lower levels of hormones that would make us more susceptible to mood and anxiety disorders?
Yeah, there typically is a higher level of hormones, and so that drop that like as you deliver is a much steeper one. So I think that puts moms of twins at risk. I think there's a whole other layer of factors that play into moms who have twins or multiples having, you know, more susceptibility and risk for a mood or anxiety disorder postpartum too.
And those factors, I mean, I think, and probably some of that would be just the fact we're getting less sleep, you know, and I can say in my case, you know, breastfeeding was by far the toughest thing I ever did. Breastfeeding twins. that's a marathon.
A single twin is a full-time job. So that's like working two jobs, you know, especially if you throw in pumping, baby's not latching, you're pumping for two and feeding two. You know, I also think that, you know, sometimes babies that are born premature, like twins, are often babies are in the NICU, and that also puts moms at more risk for postpartum depression and worry, you know, just about the health of their baby. And then more likely to have reflux, which can also cause more problems in terms of mood and anxiety and less sleep. And certainly just finding more space and time for yourself. So I know like a lot of moms have a lot of guilt, like they're not having that one-on-one time with baby, feel like their attention is constantly divided with having two, and feel a lot more overwhelmed. And even if you have some help, it never seems like it's enough.
Yes. That is, we're all raising our hand, right?
Check, check, check.
Yeah. And you know, now I was also wondering, twin moms have a higher rate of C-sections than singletons. Is that also a contributing factor? I would just think women recovering from surgery, I mean, we've got physical pain and we've got, you know, mental pain, just there's our bodies healing in, you know, maybe more ways than one, and just, you know, carrying two babies for the last 9 months, it's just there's more healing and restoration that needs to take place, right? So I would think that's also a factor.
Yeah, C-section can put you more at risk, and then exactly what you said, pain can really be such a difficult thing to deal with on top of everything else again. So it's like pain and inflammation have also been culprits of things that are preceding a mood or anxiety disorder during that time too. So there's a whole host of factors that we think kind of come into play.
Maggie and Lisa, I mean, did you ever find, was there any physical factor or anything that you felt that was either just a trigger or just maybe a component that really made you feel like that was part of what could be either postpartum depression or anything in your particular situation?
I did kind of think that something might have triggered a little bit of my depression after, and this was after my singleton. I ended up bleeding really badly after I had him, and I had a really fast labor. So I just bled a lot, and then I ended up fainting. And so I was reading more about it afterwards, and I think it might have been a hemorrhage, but I don't know for sure. And I did read that sometimes when you have a hemorrhage or a fast labor, you can be more susceptible to postpartum depression. So I don't know, maybe that might have played a part.
That is true too. Yeah, postpartum hemorrhage can definitely, it sounds like a postpartum hemorrhage of what you had, and that could also be another precipitant. We're just layering on.
And for me, I can relate to Christine about the breastfeeding struggle. For me, that was also a big thing that just made me feel even more low, was because I struggled with it. And then even when I switched to pumping, it wasn't going well, no matter all the things I tried to increase my supply. It just got me down, and it didn't help that my husband at the time was also sort of giving me guilt trips about not, I mean, he was coming from a good place, but he didn't think I tried hard enough, which is like the worst thing you can say to a mom who's trying to breastfeed twins successfully. So yeah, that definitely did not help my mood and just made me feel worse about things.
Oh yeah, I could totally relate to that. I'll just say, yeah, as twin mom, and we're just feeling physically and mentally challenged, and there's always someone that says, well, it could be worse. You know, it could be, you're like, really great. Thanks for the, you know, the encouragement, right? I mean, I remember my mother-in-law was staying with us. And so I am very grateful. We had help early on. So she would come and cook for us and, you know, kind of take care of us. But the breastfeeding, it just takes so much time. You know, the you know, we do the breastfeeding for, you know, half an hour, and then we do pumping for another, you know, half hour, 40 minutes. And then, you know, trying to eat.
It's a full-time job.
It's a full-time job, right?
And
yeah. And I remember for me, I really felt like there was one time when I mentioned, you know, to my mother-in-law, and I just said, oh gosh, I just feel trapped. I feel like I'm, you know, in jail, you know, and my, yeah. my expression was really around the fact that it's just day after day after day. It's the same routine and I couldn't get out of it. I mean, I'd have maybe, you know, maybe a 45 minute break and this, but this is just going on, you know, literally 24/7. Right. And her response to that was, well, at least you're in a beautiful prison, meaning, you know, our house is nice.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
Yeah. How do you respond to that?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's – I think that's probably something we've all heard is just, you know, when we're going through this, it's like, well, maybe it's well-intended, but it's a form of minimizing our feelings. Well, you know, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about kind of the implications of having postpartum depression and maybe some preventative measures as well.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
Well, welcome back. Today, we're talking with Dr. Allison Remnick about postpartum depression and twin moms. So I know some of us here have singletons in addition to our twins. I think we're learning that sometimes it's different, but I know I have to ask the question. If a woman has postpartum depression with one, you know, singleton, is she bound to have it with twins? I mean, is there a likelihood that she would have it again?
There still is a likelihood. I think, you know, it's quoted to be about like 30% or so, but there's, you know, a lot of times moms who have been through it can then kind of plan to use more like preventative strategies so that they don't get it again. And then I think once they've had postpartum depression, been diagnosed, then they know what to look for. They know what their triggers are. They know what helped them to get out of it before. So I think that a lot of times our patients will, you know, employ preventative strategies so that they don't get it again. Having a treatment team or having a therapist or, you know, having just strategies that have worked for you can really come in handy.
So tell me a little bit more about these preventative strategies. Now, do those strategies start during pregnancy or do they start afterwards? Or, you know, when's the best time to start, you know, planning that out?
So, you know how OBs give people birth plans? So in our clinic, we have the partner or caregiver come in with the mom and start doing a postpartum plan at like 32 weeks, you know, talking about what's going to happen with childcare if there's an older sibling, meals, like who's going to be dealing with, you know, who's going to do which shift in terms of sleep? What support can you get in terms of, do you need a postpartum doula or babysitter. So we have people try to brainstorm those things. And then I also just try to remind people that number one, first and foremost, like the two things we really need moms to do is get 4 to 5 hours of sleep. I know that doesn't usually happen in the first 2 weeks, but to really try to get as much uninterrupted sleep as possible, because 4 hours is what you need for a restorative sleep cycle, which nobody gets, you know, especially if you have twins. I don't know how you guys do that. But so we try to emphasize that and trying to go out for walks every day. Like the sunshine is a natural antidepressant and it really like breaks up the day. I think someone says like it felt like an entirely long day, like a, you know, prison. So just getting out and reminding yourself that, you know, there's sun and there's, you know, the world is beautiful out there, taking your twins for a stroll. So there's a lot of different preventative measures. And then if you had a therapist or someone that you worked with previously, getting hooked up with them in pregnancy makes a lot of sense. I think I'm an advocate of therapy, obviously, but I think during any big times of transition, having twins would be one of them, I would imagine. We would just want someone to be kind of with a therapist and plotting out potential pitfalls along the way.
Well, no, that's a great thing. I mean, if maybe even think about, yeah, planning is part of our postpartum care. I know, you know, I'm a huge advocate of really looking at postpartum care on the physical side. And I think that's great to even start, you know, thinking about it, you know, afterwards. So it's like, yeah, if you don't already have a therapist, you know, lined up, maybe you start looking for as part of our self-care plan. So now I'm just wondering, I also love the, your idea about just getting outside and sun. I mean, here we're in California, and so we get so many days of sun. And I know with twins, it is tough, but that couldn't be a small, just little victory just to, you know, bundle the babies up and put them in the snap and go, right? And just take a walk. I mean, I won't forget, you know, I've got a picture of the first time that I went outside, you know, with my girls postpartum, and I was in my yoga pants and kind of like flip flops. Right. But I mean, I took a little stroll around our cul-de-sac, and it just felt good just to get outside and, yeah, and do something. Like, so Lisa, Maggie, what did you guys do in terms of some self-care?
Well, you know, in my case, didn't really do any self-care until way later, because I was just in denial about my symptoms or thinking I could just power through it. But when I finally, it was when I made an appointment with a therapist, and then I went to see also my like primary care doctor and to talk about my symptoms, and then they prescribed me medication, which helped immensely, and also just continuing to see a therapist too, just to talk about, you know, just life stuff, not just my kids or postpartum things, but that really started to help a lot. Even though I did lots of other things before all that too. Like I was exercising regularly. I was still seeing my friends a lot. You know, I was technically having still a lot of me time. My husband was supportive about that, but it would help for a while. But then, you know, it just, the symptoms would crawl back, and I just, you know, something had to give. So I knew finally I needed like professional help.
That's so great that you actually went out to seek that on your own.
Yeah.
I know that's probably not always the case with a lot of moms. So do most moms, I mean, do, you know, maybe for Dr. Remick, I mean, do most moms know that there's kind of something wrong, or do they need encouragement from family or friends or somebody to kind of nudge them to seek professional help?
I think, you know, most moms, I think in hindsight, will say like, yeah, I knew something was wrong. Or, you know, like I said, sometimes they'll just be like, is this what being a mom is about? And it's new to me. But I think it's always been, you know, loved ones kind of pointing out to them, like, you don't seem like you're the same person. You don't laugh like you used to. You don't have that same sparkle. You don't seem like you're engaged with us in this moment. You're off somewhere else. So I do think it usually takes the encouragement and the nudge of loved ones to really get someone into care. So if you see anyone that's struggling, you know, really say something or share your story, something that could be supportive for that person to get them into treatment.
Wow. So, and then I think also, you know, I'm imagining that maybe, you know, some moms might be worried about, you know, getting treatment and, you know, either, you know, taking medication and the effects of the medication, or maybe they're concerned about stigma that, you know, from getting a diagnosis. So I don't, what do you say to those moms that might be kind of hesitant to get treatment?
Yeah, thanks for bringing this up too, because I wanted to make a point of this. You know, a lot of moms delay coming in. You know, sometimes I've diagnosed postpartum depression when they're 2 years postpartum, just because they've been so afraid to come in for so many reasons. You know, I think there's a huge fear for some reason that people think they're going to go into the psychiatry hospital if they go and they talk to somebody, or that their baby's going to be taken away, or, you know, just the stigma of like, this is supposed to be like the happiest time of my life, and I'm admitting to feeling really depressed.
What might be holding women back from coming in to get treatment, and how can we address that? I mean, you know, for ourselves, and because I know sometimes, you know, we go in for the 6 week and the 8 week checkup, and we fill out the paper with our primary obstetrician, and sometimes that's really the only point of official contact we might have with a caregiver, you know, unless we seek it out ourselves. And so I'm just thinking about maybe the moms who are out there who are identifying with some of these feelings that we've been talking about and say, well, you know, that kind of does sound like me, but you know, I really don't want people talking about me, oh, and having depression and worrying about some stigma and, you know, will people treat me differently and that sort of thing. And so I'm just thinking, what do we tell those moms?
No, that this is really normal. I always talk about that, you know, there's 1 in 10 who have postpartum depression, 1 in 5 will have a postpartum depression or anxiety. So this is, you know, it's common and it's very treatable, and that these symptoms, we try to normalize symptoms. So moms who have those, you know, maybe they might have scary thoughts, intrusive thoughts, I try to teach them that that is anxiety, and that does not equal, you know, the scary cases that are unfortunately the ones that are in the mainstream media of moms trying to hurt their children. That's a completely different diagnosis in psychiatry. I think that's one thing I try to tell my patients, that just because they have a thought doesn't mean it's real or they're going to act on it. Doesn't mean that they're crazy. I also say that we don't always start with medications. Medications can definitely be very beneficial. And there's a lot of medications that are safe with breastfeeding. But, you know, we always try to take the steps of try therapy first and then see how that works for you. And then if there's still a lot of symptoms you could benefit from a medication, then go to see a psychiatrist too. So some people are more comfortable seeing a therapist first or their OB. And hopefully the OB is talking to them about the skills that they're doing in the office and what they're used for and know where to refer.
Right. No, I mean, and that's a good point you bring up, that the treatment really doesn't have to be all about medication. I mean, there's certainly the medications that are really beneficial and they work, but starting out in either therapy or even support groups. I know, I mean, I'm active in my local twins group, and we have a support group. They got the Twin Mamas, and it's run by a member of the group, and she's a licensed social worker. And it's just an open place where the moms can talk about what's going on and being real. And I know a lot of people have said that they've really gotten a lot out of that. And I don't know if either Maggie or Lisa, if you've been involved with that.
Yeah, I missed that from the club now that I moved away. That group was super beneficial for me. I'm so glad I went. I think I was only able to go like 3 or 4 times before I moved. But yeah, and this was before I sought help on my own. So it was great just to like talk to other twin moms about real deep stuff that, you know, we might not share with other friends or other moms.
I got a lot out of going to the group too. I went to the support group, and then I also went and I saw a therapist. And I thought between those two things, and then also I started exercising more and just eating a lot healthier. And I felt all of those things combined helped me with my depression, because I didn't want to go directly to the medication, and I just wanted to try those things out first.
Oh, and that's a good point. You know, we always talk about exercising, and I think so much emphasis is put on, you know, oh, getting your body back, right? But but really, that's really a great point to say that, you know, the exercise and just getting out and moving is a good medicine for your mental health as well. That's great. Well, I just want to say thank you so much to Dr. Remnick for joining us today and sharing with us, you know, what we need to know about postpartum depression. And so hopefully the moms out there will be more proactive in taking care of themselves.
Thanks for having me.
All right, it's time for our second segment. It's called Twin Oops, and I love these stories. These are great stories, usually from twin parents, about funny things that have happened with their twins, where you just kind of have to take a step back and go, whoops, I'll have to learn from that mistake, not do that one again. And I just really appreciate the honesty in all this. So this comes from a mom. Her name is Melanie, and here's what she said. When my girls were 3, I left a jar of honey in their room. And I think we could probably end the story there, but I will continue. She wants to clarify. She said, I had given one of the girls some honey for a cough right before nap time. So now we know why the honey was in the room. She says they promptly climbed out of their cribs, opened the jar, and started eating honey like little poo bears, and then somehow flung honey all over the carpet, their dresser, and their crib. And she says, cleaning honey out of carpet is less fun than you are imagining. And then she has a side note too. It says, don't give babies honey, because we do know like there's an age where you can start to give honey. So she wants to put that disclaimer out. If babies are too young, honey's not a good thing. But have you guys ever given your kids something, or have they ever just made a true mess, like giant mess out of getting into something?
Yes.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Maggie.
Yeah. Yes, for sure. I left diaper paste somewhere in their room, and they were at the stage where they just started climbing onto things that I didn't realize they could climb up and get. So they just grabbed the diaper cream and they put it all over their hands, on the walls, just throughout their whole room. So that was a ton of fun cleaning that up.
Oh, no.
Has anyone had the experience where the baby's gotten into their own poop diaper?
I was just going to say that. It's a poop party. Yes.
It's okay for the rate of this, but we called it the poop NATO in our household. They're covered in poop.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I had to have carpet cleaning people come out. And even, like, they couldn't even, like, get it all out. I mean, I was using every chemical in the world to the point that, like, I mean, it was such a horrible situation. It was so bad for my carpeting, but it finally got out. But that was the most, you should have seen me on my hands and knees scrubbing poop everywhere. It was on their furniture, in their hair. And oh, I'm like, gosh, don't you guys have noses? Like, this is not smelling good. Why are you having so much fun?
That also makes me feel so much better hearing that you guys have had this, because I thought it was the only one. I really did. I tried to tell, I told my mother-in-law, and she runs a daycare too, so I thought she would know, and then plus from her own kids, and she's like, I have never heard of that before. I thought I had the crazy kids.
You are not alone.
Our kids are crazy.
No, it happened so much in our household, I would dread it to wake up in that state in the morning. Oh, is one of the worst things ever.
Oh my goodness. Misery enjoys company, right?
Well, that wraps up our show for today. We appreciate you listening to Twin Talks. Don't forget to check out our sister show, Preggy Pals, for expecting parents, and our show, The Boob Group, for moms who breastfeed their babies, Parent Savers, your parenting resource on the go, and Newbies, for new moms during their first year. This is Twin Talks, parenting times two.
This podcast is a proud member of Parents on Demand, a network of high-quality shows for families just like yours. Download our free network app on Apple and Android and listen to your favorite episodes on the go.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, mamas. Don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.